and welcome into another edition of Boston Community Affairs on WEEI. My name is Alex Streamer. We have an action-packed show for you this week. Two great guests. First up, we'll welcome on JoJo Dreis. She is a workplace speaker and author of the book, The Lotus, How I Beat the Patriarchy. I thought this was an especially good week to speak with JoJo, given all the news that continues to come out of Ohio State and the Urban Meyer situation and the domestic violence cover-up there as it pertains to Zach Smith, and also with Dr. Larry Nassar as well at Michigan State. The NCAA investigation this week, they said they found that Michigan State did not break any rules in its handling of the matter, which just seems ridiculous. I mean, he had a gymnastics coach, for one, who was told about the abuse in the late 90s, didn't do anything about it, reportedly threatened the people who told her about it, and yet she didn't violate NCAA laws, so it just seems totally, totally crazy. Then on top of that, to go off of sports, you have the Louis C.K. situation. Louis C.K. returned to the stand-up circuit this past week, did a surprise appearance at a comedy club in New York City, and I think it lends the question about the Me Too movement. Number one, you know, a guy like Louis C.K. disappears for a few months, does nothing, doesn't even really apologize, and now he's ready to return? Really? That's where we're at? Who decides that? How much is enough of a pittance to pay? So good conversation there about that, and also just a general conversation as a whole with the Me Too movement. To me, it still seems to center around the men and how we rehabilitate the men and towards to putting more of the focus on the victims. So JoJo Dreis coming up momentarily, and then after that, we speak with Andy McCauley. He's the president and CEO of the New England Center and Home for Veterans, doing a great event next Friday, September 7th. The Greater Boston Standdown for Veterans takes place all day at Boston City Hall Plaza. Andy will tell you how you can get involved with that. So it's Boston Community Affairs on WEEI. Again, my name is Alex Streamer. Coming up next, it's JoJo Dreis, workplace speaker and author, and we talk about how we can beat the patriarchy, and that's what her book is about. And again, I think a very opportune time to speak to her as well. And welcome back to Boston Community Affairs on WEEI. And on the phone lines right now, we have a very topical guest for this week, JoJo Dreis. She is a workplace speaker and author of The Lotus, How I Beat the Patriarchy. JoJo, how are you?
Doing well, Alex. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks.
I appreciate it.
Thanks for coming on. Lots of stuff to get to. Let's first start with Urban Meyer. It's a couple weeks old. It broke, but, you know, still lots of discussion going about it today. And I think the central point I had when the Urban Meyer situation went down with Zach Smith is he can spin this however he wants, but the fact is, and his actions speak louder than his words, which were terrible, but the actions were even worse, and the fact is he just doesn't think domestic violence is a fireable offense, or just doesn't seem to think that, or even seem to think it's an offense that's worth discipline, right? Because he knew about this receiver, Coach Zach Smith, going back to 2009 in Florida, kept him on board there. So again, he can try to spin it however he wants, apologize, re-apologize, with that seems to be what it comes down to, right?
Yes, absolutely. I think, you know, I think it's a systemic problem, you know, throughout this country, as well as throughout coaches like himself, where he's basically turning a blind eye for the bottom line. You know, so it's about the net profit, you know, versus the overall well-being, whether it's of a team, of a company, you know, of the coaches, the other peer coaches. It's basically, let's look at the profit. Let's see if we're making money. If we are, we're going to turn a blind eye to this bad behavior, you know, call it okay, and that it doesn't affect the team environment, and say, oh, that's fine. He's just doing that at home. We're okay with it because it doesn't have anything to do with work environment.
But the crazy thing, too, about this Ohio State situation in particular is, you know, Zach Smith was a receivers coach who would seem to be the definition of replaceable. I mean, it's not like he was a star running back or a star quarterback or, hell, even a star coordinator. I mean, receivers coach. That's what makes it, I think, especially ugly. Not that it isn't ugly when, you know, it's a star player and the coaches and, you know, management covers for him. But just that's what I think made the story especially odd for a lot of people.
Well, I think it still makes it odd, and I think that, you know, a lot of folks are coming out saying, you know, how weak it was, the decision that was made. And I think it's just a culture. So it's a thought culture that says it's okay. And I think that we've become so callous to it. I think we've become so callous to this behavior that it's accepted, and it just says it's okay. You know, it doesn't matter that they don't, you know, you know, I'm the first to say I'm not an expert when it comes to football, but, I mean, it doesn't matter whether they're affecting the team in that way or in a very significant way. To them, it's just like, you know, boys will be boys, guys will be guys, the behavior's okay, and we're just going to accept it as is and do nothing about it, even if it doesn't affect, it in the long term if he's not that important of a coach on the team. We've just become so callous to it that it just doesn't affect the decision-making process to fire him.
But do you think we're still, and it's just amazing because we have so much more domestic violence awareness now than we did in the past, but it seems the attitude of a lot of the men who run these institutions still has not really changed, even though, again, awareness has certainly increased.
So awareness has certainly increased. Women like me who are writing books, you know, speaking in front of folks and telling them, you know, what behavior is okay, what behavior is not, how to tell people that their behavior is not okay, you know, giving them verbiage to use. It's still an ingrained thought process that for generations that this has been okay. And so what needs to change is so there was a report that came out that said 17% of men are being more cautious at work in the way they interact with females.
Right.
And I think that goes to show that men are still looking at it like females are sensitive or we're too sensitive, you know, to behavior. It's not that they need to be more cautious. It's that the whole thing needs to be resurrected and said, no, this behavior is not okay. This is common decency, and this is what should be called okay, and no longer should we be behaving in these other ways.
Right. But to me, too, it's about how the conversation around all of this is framed, you know? I mean, we see it a lot with the Me Too movement, right? Louis C.K. returned to stand-up this past week to a surprise appearance at a comedy club in New York, and with him and so many of these other guys, the conversation, at least nationally, isn't so much about the victims, but more, how do we rehabilitate the men? You know, a lot of the conversation is, you know, Harvey Weinstein, we agree, okay, should never work again, but where do we draw the line? You know, should Louis C.K. never work again? Should, you know, this one, that one? And I'm going, wow, like, the conversation is centered around the abusers and how we rehabilitate them, not rehabilitate them, and not the victims. Is that a part of it, too?
I do. I think it's a part of it. I think that the acceptance thought process has also allowed the folks that are being abused or have been abused to not be believed, or, oh, they're dramatizing it, or, oh, they're exaggerating the behavior, or, oh, that's just the way it is in those environments, you know, whether it's Hollywood or the music industry or, you know, corporate America or even in interpersonal relationships. You know, you have folks that are just saying, well, this is normal, it's okay, it's acceptable, and so then we welcome them back in the fold. And it's just that good old boys club. You know, somebody asked me the other day, is it a man's world? And in a sense, it still is, right? There's this sense of, acceptance among those folks. So, yeah, they're going to welcome them back in the fold. You know, Louis C.K. is back around, sort of didn't even apologize, right? There's not even this sense of, oh, we have to apologize for our behavior. We have to pay some dues. We have to, you know, say, all right, we're going to change our behavior. We're never going to do this again. No, it's just this automatic, you know, let's welcome you back. It's okay. Ha ha. You know, too bad, so sad for those victims, you know, that were abused and hurt. And there's no repercussion, right? There's no consequence for the behavior, which is why it continues. And I think what needs to change in the country is some sort of consequence. There needs to be some sort of, you know, outing of these folks that says, all right, you know what, you know, and some people say a boycott or this or that, and I don't know that it's necessarily about that. It's more like it needs to be, you know, whether it's financial or the media, you know, whatever it may be, where it needs to be like, all right, this is no longer okay, but instead we just tap them on the back, welcome them back in the fold. I don't know how that's done, but that needs to change, absolutely.
But, you know, how do we do that, right? So, like, it's a free market, obviously. You know, let's say Louis C.K. has a show coming up this weekend in Boston. If people buy tickets to go see it, then he's back. You know, so how do we exactly change that, given the structure of our society and our markets?
So I think that's a very good question, and it's part of the reason why I wrote the book, because I write 7 steps in my book about how folks can change their thought process, they can change the behavior as it's done to them, and they can change the thought process of those around them. And I think the first thing is this living in denial that we've always done. We've lived in this form of denial that says it's okay. And then it's seeking out some solutions. So So when I go into corporations, I give them solutions. So if you have a toxic team member, if you have a toxic boss, these are things that you can say to them to stop those behaviors. And the third thing is actually taking that action and standing up. So for me, the voice was always there, right? So I was abused, you know, for many, many years. I could have removed myself from my abusive situation way before I did. And I think that part of it, you know, this is not in any way victim blaming. You know, this is me talking about myself. But this is speaking to those women, men, whoever is in that situation, in a toxic situation. It's saying to yourself that you're made for more than this. Your destiny is bigger than this. So I think it's taking an action yourself, saying, all right, enough is enough. And then, you know, from there, you're going to find some wins, some losses. Seek out your tribe. You know, seek out people around you that have that same thought process and start making change, you know, locally. So whether that's a local kid that you see as being abused, if it's a local friend that you see as being abused, if you're in your work environment and you see a coworker is being abused by a peer or a boss or whatnot, you know, speak up. I think the more that people speak up, I think that's how we're going to change it. I think the less people that buy tickets, the more that we're going to change it. You know, if he goes and there's an empty room, you know, that's going to make news because people are, you know, I'm not going to use, you know, foul language on the radio, but essentially it's like basically people are like, you know, I'm not going to do anything. I'm not going to support this behavior. I'm not going to do anything to support this behavior. So I think it's the voices of the small are going to affect the strong, and then the small become the strong. And that's why I did what I did. I wrote a book. I'm on a speaking tour that says, hey, listen, enough is enough. You know, this is how you remove yourself from a toxic situation, and this is how you beat the patriarchy in that way.
But, yeah, a couple notes there. I mean, we'll see with Louis C.K., right? So he showed up at it was a surprise appearance at a comedy club. The people there did not know he was coming. We'll see if he tries to go out on tour, if tickets will be bought. You know, we'll see if advertisers sponsor show. We'll see if Netflix, for example, would be interested in purchasing a show from him again. I'm not sure. In fact, I don't think so, to be honest with you, at least not this soon. But in terms of beating the patriarchy and beating our system, but, you know, what happens if you do work in a corporation? I mean, again, these Me Too stories are on a grand scale in these Hollywood environments, but we've seen time and time again how a guy like Weinstein, for example, owned his production company and human resources. Yeah. Guess what? Oh, reports to him. So if you're a woman and you're in that situation, how it just seems like the system is so stacked against you.
It is, and I've had that question, and some people have told me to avoid that question, you know, is the deck stacked against women? And I'm the first to say it, and I will be bold in saying it, yes, it is.
Right.
And all the more reason to be vocal. So for me, you know, I jumped without a net. For me, I had a very cushy job, a very cushy, you know, from the outside world, very cushy job, very cushy family environment. We were the perfect family. We owned our businesses. We were world travelers, traveled around the nation, you know, had, you know, what looked like a lot of money. And I removed myself from that. And I basically said to myself, I would rather sleep on the floor outside on the grass with the rain hitting me than continue with this verbal, physical, you know, all the abuse I had in the work and the home environment. So for me, it was family businesses. And I will say that to anyone that's out there. You know, if you have a toxic boss and there's HR and you're hitting walls and that, yes, I think it's worth using your voice. I think it's worth trying to change that environment, you know, from the ground up. But I know many females who have, you know, jumped and just said, all right, this is not okay behavior. And now they're actually successful at whether it's another company, whether it's their own company. I have many female business peers that I know that have started their own businesses just based on the sheer need that said, we need to create a company that's within this environment, whatever their expertise was, that is not treating their employees this way. They have females working under them, males working under them, and they just treat them differently than the corporation they came from. And now, you know, they're basically a huge success to say, I can do this without you. So, yes, I think it's important to take those steps, and I show folks how to do that, you know, within a corporate environment. And how to take those steps, you know, that make sense within that environment. And then I show them that to say, hey, if this doesn't make sense for you, here's how, you know, you can do it on your own. Because I did, and it clearly worked for me. I'm living my best life, you know, I have a very successful business, several of them,
right.
You know, as well as a successful personal life as well.
Yeah. What is your story, by the way, JoJo, for those who aren't familiar with it?
Sure, absolutely. So grew up being abused, physically, sexually, emotionally, okay. verbally abused, you know, throughout my whole life. You know, had a very toxic environment in that way. Mom did nothing about it. My dad and brothers basically ran the household and were the abusers. And then again, we had the family businesses. So it not only that used not only within the home, but bled through to my work situation, so my income as well. You know, so it was, and I wasn't able to make the income because it was all in the family pot. So that's its own story. But in my early 20s, you know, they basically took me away from the love of my life, and I said, that's it, I'm done, never, you know, this is not happening again. So through my late 20s, I emerged from that. I became a butterfly and, you know, moved out, created my own business, became an entrepreneur, and moved out completely from that environment. And the last thing that happened to me, in order to, that was my catalyst. There were two catalysts. First, they took me away from the love of my life. The second thing that happened was he laid his hands on me one more time. And the last time he laid his hands on me, I was 29.
Who's he?
And I said, I'm sorry. So abuser one.
Okay.
So abuser one, who's my dad.
Okay.
It was the last time he laid his hands on me when he physically abused me at age 29. I looked up at him and I said, this will never happen again. And that's when I jumped ship. And again, I jumped without a net. And then the net was provided. So when I jumped without a net, people started offering me jobs. My business that I had created started increasing. People started giving, you know, clientele. You know, an apartment just, you know, miraculously showed up. So all kinds of things went positively because I took that step that said, I'm done with this abusive environment. And then after that, I went on just, you know, you can put this on or not, but after that, I went on Match.com to find a match to take to a wedding, and Match.com ended up circling me back with the love of my life that they had taken me
wow.
away from so many years before. So so now we're living a very beautiful, you know, personal life. The businesses I've created way back then have emerged into, you know, huge successes as well. So again, both my career and my personal life, you know, took a turn for the much better after I finally removed myself from that toxicity that was around me.
Wow, what a story. That's incredible. Because, you know, JoJo, as we followed all this Me Too stuff over the last year now, you go, yes, well, if this kind of stuff is going on in Hollywood and in the corporate world, just imagine what's happening in the daily life,
yeah.
right? Like, imagine what's happening
yeah.
to a woman who works in a supermarket, for example, and the supermarket
yeah.
manager is, you know, is acting in
yeah.
this manner, and they may feel like they have nowhere to go, but you're saying that even that it is possible, and you're living proof
yeah.
of that.
Yeah, and that's exactly, you hit the nail on the head, Alex. That's exactly why I wrote the book, is because I was looking around me saying, oh my God, you know, everyone's talking about these Hollywood, and when we look at, you know, this is a community affairs show, when we look at who started the Me Too movement, that was Tarana, and Tarana was several years ago, you know, 20-some years ago, she came up with the hashtag Me Too
right.
Movement, and it wasn't until Hollywood said something that we all started talking about it, at least to the extent that we are, and so I looked and I said, Hollywood's talking about it, you know, we have the music industry, you know, folks like, you know, Kesha and them that are writing these songs, talking about their abusers. And then I said, you know, but there's the normal folk like us that are living our daily lives that are seeing the same exact situations, because this is a systemic problem across this country. This is a thought culture that has been here for years and generations. And we have these pockets across the country that are being treated in this way. And yes, you know, there are wonderful men out there. I'm not blanketing, you know, the male race. I'm not blanketing, you know, the culture or ethnicity that I came from. I'm not blanketing the religion I came from. But I think that at times we have to step back and say, this is a systemic problem, and there are people that have succeeded out of these environments and made a success for themselves despite what their abusers said. And I think on the daily, people are being told, you're not going to be a success, you're worth nothing, you know, you'll never succeed without us, it's because of me that you're even alive, this and that. And I think it's people like me, voices like me, that are writing books or speaking or doing these speeches that say, no, they're wrong, you know, you're bigger than this, you know, let's get you to that next level.
Right. It's so, so important and such an important story and example as well. Before we go, JoJo, I do want to bring it back to sports here. Dr. Larry Nassar, Michigan State NCAA investigation finds that no rules are broken. How is that even possible?
How is that even possible? I about flipped a lid when I saw that news headline. I could not even. And this just goes to show you that it's everyone greasing everyone else's hand. It's everyone patting everyone else's back. Because guess what? If they did find a problem and if they did start that investigation and it said, oh, no, we do see a problem here and there, you know, we are going to, you know, prosecute them for it. Well, then guess what? They have something against those people that are the, you know, because this is such a systemic problem. So if one person says to the other, yes, you're wrong, and you shouldn't have behaved that way, or you shouldn't have looked the other way, they have the same thing against them, because pretty much it is over 90% of the people in those positions are looking the other way, doing nothing about this kind of abuse. And that's what needs to change. So somebody somewhere needs to start that change to make a domino effect across the country.
Right. But how about it's another woman, though? Like the Nassar case in particular, I'm reading about, you know, yes. The retired MSU gymnastics coaches, Kathy Clegg, I hope I'm pronouncing that last name correctly. But so she was charged with lying to law enforcement. The Michigan yes. State Attorney General's office says, you know, she knew about Nassar back to 1997. She pressured the people who told her to stay silent. So how about when it's another woman, and we see this time and time again, you know, Weinstein had female, you know, assistants, Les Moonves, you know, had secretaries who seemed yep. to be complicit in. Yep. How about it's a woman in that position of power?
Well, 100%. And then when you look at, that one Hollywood case, that actress that was, you know, that was hiring yep. fellow actresses, you know, for the sex ring or whatnot. And it's sad and it's heartbreaking. And for me as a woman, it's upsetting and angering. And this is where, you know, I'm just going to say it, you know, out loud, is we as women sometimes absolutely shoot ourselves in the foot because we buy into this thought process. I mean, I see it on the personal level. I see it on the business level. I see it on the sports level. You look anywhere across the board and there are women that are feeding into the same thought culture. You know, whether it's an interpersonal relationship where she says, oh, no, that's normal behavior in a relationship. You know, he's at least, you know, he's paying my bills. Or where then you see it in corporate America, where it's a female boss that's behaving that way towards the employee, or a female employee that's accepting the behavior from the male boss because to her it's her way of getting up the ladder. Now, for those females that are hearing me out there, I am the most female-empowered you know, woman across the country, let me tell you. So in no way am I trying to blast our race in any way, shape, or form. But I do think that we need to look internally and we need to see our own behavior and say, no, this needs to change. So yes, as a female in power who did look the other way, I'm not surprised. I think it's just part of that same thought culture.
JoJo Dreiss, she is a workplace speaker and author of The Lotus, How I Beat the Patriarchy. JoJo, thanks so much for coming on. Before I let you go, though, is there anything you'd like to plug, any speaking appearances that you're doing?
Absolutely. If anyone would like to continue the conversation or hire me to speak at their own corporate event as a keynote or as a panel speaker, you can find me on my website, jojodreiss.com, and I'd love to continue the conversation with you there. Thanks again for having me.
Can you make it out to the Boston area, JoJo?
I'm sorry, say that again?
Can you make it out here to the Boston area?
Oh, of course I can.
Excellent.
I've actually been traveling across the country, and Boston's one of my favorite places to go. I love it. There's so much history.
Excellent. JoJo Dreiss, again, workplace speaker, author of The Lotus, How I Beat the Patriarchy. Great conversation. JoJo, thanks for coming on. I'm sure we'll talk to you down the line.
Thanks, Alex.
Welcome back to Boston Community Affairs.